This is a problem. Like, this is a threat for Target and Walmart big time. Hello and welcome to Terrifying Robot Dog. I'm Jonathan Stark.
And I'm Kelly Shaver.
And we're here to talk about how technology is changing the way we interact with the world. This week, we talk about Amazon buying Whole Foods. Please stay tuned. Terrifying Robot Dog is next. How technology is changing the way we eat our lunch.
Yes, changing the way we interact with food. I know technology has changed the way I interact with food quite a bit.
Is that right?
How so? Well, you start tracking your calories in an app, and suddenly you discover how much less food you can actually get away with eating.
That's for sure. You're not still using Kilo, are you?
No.
Yeah, I think it's down. I never updated the SSL.
No, I'm using the one that I made.
Nice.
It tracks calories as well as macronutrients.
That's right. Well, I wonder if this will have that too. You just left Whole Foods with 45,000 calories worth of...
That would be interesting.
So, dear listener, if you're not hip to this news, let's see, when was it?
A little over a week ago.
Yeah, about a week ago. Amazon bought Whole Foods for a cool $13.7 billion.
Yeah.
And this is super interesting, of course, for a bunch of reasons that we'll get into. I was a little creeped out by it, though.
Yeah, that was my first impression, too. I don't have a Whole Foods anywhere near me, but just the thought of it was a little weird.
Yeah, I was like, I don't want Amazon touching my food somehow, which is silly because we get lots of food from Amazon, but it's like, it's all like...
Pantry stuff.
Pantry stuff, exactly. And yeah, dog food and paper towels and the sort of things that you might get at a supermarket. But it's not, you know, we don't get produce, of course. We don't get...
You don't order meat off Amazon. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I guess it feels a little weird. And it's kind of like, well, what are they going to do with it? You know, is it going to turn into like a mini distribution center? Are they going to take their private label brands and sell them there in person? Are they going to map the store or like modify the stores to operate like an Amazon Go self-checkout type of place? Are drones going to be bringing me a burrito at my office? like what are all the things that could happen here? Are there going to be robots on rails going along the floors like a distribution center?
Yeah, the only thing I know for certain now is that this does increase the number of states in which you'll have to pay sales tax when you order from Amazon.
Yeah, that's right. That was something they avoided for a long, long time, but they clearly gave up on that.
Yeah, because at one time they were thinking about buying Redbox, but there was a Redbox machine everywhere, so that meant pretty much everyone would be paying state sales tax.
Right.
Or Amazon.
Right. Yeah, I live in one of the few states that was outside of the tax, or that wanted to tax Amazon for affiliates. Mm-hmm. So Amazon said, okay, no Rhode Island affiliates. Next question. I was like, thanks, local government. So this is super fascinating. And I read an article about this purchase. So, you know, like, what are all the things that could happen? Why did they do this? You know, they've been messing around with groceries, Amazon Fresh and Amazon Go, those sort of prototype stores.
Yeah, I have this dream of Amazon breakfast where it just shows up at my door every morning.
Can I have Amazon enjoy my food for me? It's just so much work to chew and swallow and decide if I enjoyed it.
And then all the aftermath that comes 4 to 6 hours later.
Yeah, can't Amazon just handle my bodily functions for me? It's kind of scary to say out loud. So, but that's kind of how it felt. I was like, my food, that's like getting really, really close to like my biology and,
Right.
But you know, so lots of people are making predictions and, you know, this, you know, if the market was like Whole Foods, Target, Kroger, Stop and Shop, their stocks all took a hit, you know, like, oh, Jeff Bezos is entering the supermarket market. Let's pull out of the old legacy style supermarkets. So anyway, so there's all sorts of thoughts and lots of blogging and thinking about this. And one article I came across really blew my mind. Have you ever heard of the blog Stratechery? I think it's pronounced.
No, I haven't.
Yeah, it's written by a guy named Ben Thompson, and he's, you know, sort of a tech analyst, and he had an angle on it that just made tons of sense to me. Just totally clicked. And it's called Amazon's New Customer. I really think he's onto something here, which gives, at least gives me a framework for thinking about what they're doing with Whole Foods.
Okay.
So his general, I'm going to paraphrase horribly just to summarize. Let's see. There's one really important thing, and that is it starts with their Amazon's mission statement. So he says, okay, let's back up and get to Amazon's mission statement, which has changed a little bit over the years. But currently it says, their mission statement is, our vision, this is Amazon, our vision is to be Earth's most customer-centric company.
That's
so, right?
Short and sweet.
Yeah, but think about it. Like, that's not, that didn't say anything about e-commerce, doesn't say anything about books, doesn't say anything about sales.
No.
I mean, I guess it does. It has a customer, but it's just like, we just utterly and completely customer focused.
Right. All we want is happy customers,
mm-hmm.
which when you think about it, if you have a lot of happy customers, you're going to make a lot of sales.
So. Right. So he draws this parallel to Amazon Web Services, and he was like, the thing about AWS, I remember when AWS, when they announced it, I was like, I was like, what?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, I guess I can sort of understand that they have like a massive infrastructure, but why would they rent it out?
Yeah. Didn't it just start with S3? Wasn't that like the first thing?
Certainly that was one of the early ones, but I don't remember. I just remember being like, this seems really weird. It seems like a distraction. And, you know, fast forward however many years it's been, I think that was around 2006, and it's, you know, powering a quarter of the internet, maybe more, and it's just super, super popular. It's changed the way, I feel like it's changed the way modern software development happens.
I feel like it has, yeah.
So what's interesting is, perhaps, or at least this is Ben Thompson's take on it, is that creating AWS was a risky thing, but they had their number one first customer for it, which was their e-commerce site. So even if it wasn't a huge success, it was still they're still going to benefit from it but by exposing their infrastructure, it made their infrastructure more resilient, even if they were just making it resilient between internal teams at Amazon.
Right.
So, you know, when Bezos dropped the hammer and said, okay, no more meetings, everybody is going to expose their whatever their department does, you're going to expose everything as an API. I don't care the mechanics of the API. It could be XML RPC, or it could be REST, or it could be, you know, whatever that Microsoft one was. I can't remember now. SOAP, but it's like,
yeah,
simple object access protocol. Yeah, right. So yeah. I don't care how you do it, but that's the way it's going to be. And you're not going to have a meeting between two departments talking about database access. Everything's going to be exposed as an API.
Right.
Which meant that individual departments could accidentally DDoS each other. And, you know, you had to really, each one had to be essentially ready for the public.
Mm-hmm.
So then they exposed it to the public and it was like, huh, this is just so weird. Why would they give this advantage away? And all of that. But then it took off and now they're getting a cut of the entire internet's commerce.
Right.
Pretty much.
Yeah. They're profiting off of like a third of the internet.
Right. Yeah. One way or the other.
Yeah.
So sure. Okay. It's Amazon.com. Obviously that's a behemoth, gigantic, you know, but the point is that they had this secondary offering that was more at the plumbing level that they can sort of mitigate the risk of creating and releasing to the public, because even if it wasn't a huge success, they were supporting themselves, their main moneymaker thing. So, but then it turned into a money-making endeavor on its own. It's like a serious business. So he's talking about that, and he's like, he draws the parallel to, he's talking about, I think it was Amazon Fresh, and he's talking about how, there was no customer for what he's calling Amazon grocery services. They had no customer for it. You know what I mean? So like, if you're a software developer, you get the concept of like scratching your own itch.
Right. Worst case scenario of the whole AWS offerings is it doesn't sell, but they get a much more robust and stronger and better infrastructure.
Yes, exactly.
Worst case scenario of failed Amazon grocery is what? Catered lunches at Amazon? I mean,
yeah, there was nothing.
Yeah.
There was no customer for, there was no internal customer for it.
Right. It's pure risk.
Yes, exactly. It's 100, exactly. Perfect way to put it. It's 100% risk. So what they're doing here, or what perhaps if this guy is right, and I believe he is, because this makes perfect, it's their pattern, is that they sort of do, you know, Whole Foods, now it's theirs. So now they're going to apply the way that they think about things to operating Whole Foods, which is going to be massive efficiency through software and technology, like just epic supply chain optimization, which if you were just doing for Whole Foods, would probably be pretty hard to justify. Otherwise, Whole Foods would have done it already.
That's true. That's true. It probably would. But they've already got this, like, again, they've already got this in place.
Mm-hmm. So you've got this retail footprint in place. I think there's about 450 locations in the U.S., which is not enormous, but it's enough. You know,
right. It's not small either. So
right. And of all the advantages that it could present, like, you know, having more, you know, same day delivery type of stuff and selling their own brand stuff, I think the bigger picture is that they are going to build the infrastructure for selling food. So, you know, in order to support Whole Foods at first, but then all of a sudden, if that works, and once they get it down to that sort of tipping point where it's ready for public consumption, then all of a sudden they can be not just taking a cut of all of the transactions that are happening online, e-commerce, right? Or really any website that's being hosted. Yeah, basically, now all of a sudden they can be like getting a cut of all food purchases, which is something like 25% of the GDP.
Interesting. So you're saying, let me see if I'm understanding this right, that they build this efficiency and this method and this system for efficiently selling food through Whole Foods, and then they say, okay, let's turn around and sell that to other companies the same way we did with AWS, and now we have Kroger taking a cut of Kroger's income and a cut of Walmart sales. And,
mm-hmm, exactly.
And so on.
Exactly.
Interesting. That's crazy.
It makes perfect sense. That's
crazy
what they do,
because
though.
It would work.
Right.
Yeah, it would work.
Mm-hmm. So they end up, and then shipping. You can see it in shipping. I've had conversations with a bunch of people where it's like, you know, we didn't want to, or we investigated, you know, people are selling pallets of books. Like I've self-published all these books. I've got a pallet of books. I got to ship them around. I don't want to do it. I want to get somebody to do fulfillment services for me. And the assumption is, oh, well, some local mom and pop will be, more competitively priced. They'll beat Amazon in price. Nope. Not even close. Not even close. Amazon's got massive scale and they can price things at razor thin margins that make sense for them because they're making money on multiple sides of the transaction. Mm-hmm. So they can charge less than mom and pop. It's almost like Amazon's becoming the API for transactions of any kind.
Of everything, yeah.
So they'll end up with, through the Whole Foods thing, they'll end up with a supply, like an exposable API for buying, you know,
managing the, like, grocery.
Yeah. But yes, at that level, but also, but like deep into the supply chain, like all the way back into like where you get bacon, you know, like getting the bacon, mm-hmm. getting the tomatoes.
Yeah. Amazon pig farm.
Oh, Jesus. That's so scary. And so anyway, that is really freaky that they become, you know, big agro.
Yeah.
They become Monsanto.
Right. Let's not go there.
Yeah. Let's not.
Yeah.
So this is like super fascinating because it's certainly worked before. I get the sense that there's a lot of inefficiency in this space because it feels like there's probably a lot of non-technical, it feels like it's underserved technically as an industry.
There probably is. I get the sense that there's a ton of waste, both in terms of food waste and also probably gasoline and fuel to power vehicles that are transporting this sort of stuff and electricity that keep coolers cool and all that. Hmm. I feel like there's probably a lot of waste.
Yep. All the handoff, all the latency, mm-hmm. spoilage, all of that stuff. And so it's not really about, I agree with that. You know, these are not my ideas. This is like Ben Thompson's ideas 100%, but I agree with him totally. I think he nailed it. And so it's not, Amazon's not really getting into the retail grocery business. They just needed a customer to kind of like an internal customer. We used to call it at Staples. Like they're the internal mm-hmm. customer for what will become Amazon grocery services. So customer zero, basically. And he has this great quote from Palm CEO. Remember them, Palm?
Yes.
When the iPhone came out, you know, this guy from the CEO of Palm says, you know, we've learned and struggled for a few years here figuring out how to make a decent phone. He said, PC guys are not going to just figure this out. They're not going to just walk in. What if Steve Jobs' company did bring an iPod phone to market? Well, it'd probably use Wi-Fi and could be distributed through Apple stores and not carriers like Verizon or Singular, Colligan theorized. And so obviously he was like super wrong.
Yeah.
Like so wrong. But the thing was, they weren't, Apple wasn't making a phone. They were getting into a totally different business that happened to replace the phone.
Yeah.
So you could imagine, dear listener, that Amazon gets into this business and they figure out all the supply chain stuff and hyper optimize through, you know, bots, automation, you know, physical automation in the real world, sensors, bots, actuators, and software automation in the cloud side. And you've got Amazon Pig Farm sending bacon straight to your refrigerator from just so happens to be a local, I don't know, physical retail space, but maybe nobody ever goes there anymore. Or maybe that's just one small aspect of it. It's super cool. I mean, it's scary, but it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's both. it's a little, because once they've got the infrastructure in place for, oh, never mind, that doesn't work.
I thought what you were going to say was Amazon, once Amazon Grocery Services exists, and that's why I started talking about shipping, it's like like Kroger will have a strong financial incentive to use that. They're like, right. Well, we can't compete with this. And look, here's this thing that's costs less than what we're currently spending for something better.
So why not use it?
So then now Amazon's getting a cut of Kroger. Amazon's getting a cut of, you know, the grocery business at Target, or Amazon's getting a cut.
Isn't Target.com actually powered by Amazon? I know it was.
It was. It was. And they switched off and it went down for like 2 days. Mm-hmm. And they finally got their act back together.
Yeah. At one point they were just Amazon with a different theme.
Right. But, you know, funny you should mention that, because after this announcement, when they bought Whole Foods, I think it was around the same time, Walmart announced to their vendors that they were no longer going to work with people who were using Amazon Web Services.
Really?
Yep. The thinking being that, well, Amazon owns all these computers where our proprietary data is being stored, and we're in direct competition with Amazon.
And they, oh, interesting. I can understand the logic behind that, but it still feels like they're shooting themselves in the foot.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
if Amazon actually used that data to give them a competitive advantage, they would be in such legal hot water.
Oh, yeah. It would be insane for them to.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even think I would be surprised if Amazon even thought about Walmart. Really? They really care about Walmart? Well, I was talking about this to Erica when they bought Whole Foods, and you know, we were sort of like, I was like, wow, look at the stock prices for, you know, Walmart, Target, blah, blah, blah. And her reaction was, Walmart's over, which is weird because she's not the type, you know, she doesn't really care, but she was like, Walmart's going down. And I was like, really? You think so? And she's like, yeah, it's just there. It's too, you know, but she's talking about it from a shopper standpoint.
Right.
And, you know, just the it's just a gut instinct. She's like, you just like, why would you go there?
I live in a small town. Literally the only place in town there is to buy, 99% of things there are to buy around here is at Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
And we have other grocery stores, but when you can buy all the other stuff you need at Walmart too, you end up going there. So we make a lot of trips to Walmart. But at the same time, like, I also order a lot of stuff off Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
And just because you can't get it here and it's so much more convenient. Mm-hmm. And if I could order groceries off of Amazon and not have to go out to the store and give money to a company I don't particularly support, but I'm kind of forced to use, mm-hmm. and like fight crowds and put up with people and wait in lines and that sort of thing. If I could reliably get fresh groceries for the same price, about the same price that I'm paying now, then yeah.
Yep. What sorts of stuff do you buy when you go there? Is it mostly groceries?
Mostly groceries and like household items, the occasional video game or movie,
mm-hmm.
Which I could just as easily order online, but
you're there, so.
Yeah, you're there. So yeah, but it's mostly, you know, like towels and,
mm-hmm.
you need a new frying pan and stuff you could easily order online, but it's more convenient to pick it up locally since you're there anyway buying groceries.
Right, since you're there anyway, exactly. So that's our behavior too, where we'll go in to a Target and be like, and it's usually the trip is initiated because of food.
Mm-hmm.
So exactly. We need groceries, but we you know, we go in and groceries is the last thing you get to. So between the front door and the groceries, there's like $150 worth of impulse purchases. might as well get, you know, what's stuff we might as well get? I'm trying to think, you know, it is the obligatory trip past the Nerf aisle.
Right.
And, you know, Maggie wants a fidget spinner. And I mean, I might pick up a couple, you know, this time of year, I'll probably pick up a couple pairs of shorts. Like, oh, I'll just grab this. I'll just grab this. I'll just grab this.
Yeah. It's like, oh, I've been meaning to get new dish towels for forever. So
yeah,
that kind of thing. Yeah.
And then you get to the groceries and you get the stuff you get. And then we go past the dog food and that stuff. Although we order that on subscription now. So maybe we get dog bones, you know, like chews. Mm-hmm. And you check out. And you know what I mean? It's like, I wouldn't miss a bit of that if... I'm trying to think, what do we even buy that we care about? Like, this is a problem. Like, this is a threat for Target and Walmart, big time.
Yeah.
This is a major threat.
The thing is, I want an experience where I can, even if I'm ordering online, I was going to order groceries. I want an experience where I could order my groceries and then I could throw in a movie or then I could throw in the new dish towels and order it and not have to do like a grocery order and then go to Amazon.com and do a separate order. Because if that were the case, I wouldn't do it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, we ordered one of those Dash wands, I think they're called, which is kind of like the Haiku scanner that, that we've talked about in the past. And it's, Alexa, and what does it look like? It looks like a TV remote control, but a little longer.
Mm-hmm. I'm not familiar with this. I haven't heard of it.
It's a Dash wand, I think is what it's called. And it's the same idea, but on steroids, where you can hang it up. It's got a magnet. You can stick it to your fridge or next to the garbage or whatever. And you can use it to scan barcodes as you're about to put them in the recycling bin. You know, it's like, oh, you finished the simple lemonade or whatever it's called, and you scan the thing and just puts it straight in your cart. And and it's got Alexa too, so you can press a button and talk to it and say, oh, order more iceberg lettuce and American cheese and, you know, yogurt drinks, strawberry yogurt drinks, you know, stuff that doesn't necessarily have a barcode. I guess the yogurt drinks do, but you know, stuff that doesn't have a barcode, basically, you could just tell it and, or who knows? I mean, with their iPhone app, it's got a camera and it just recognizes stuff without even seeing a barcode. So if you could do that.
Does it put it in your Amazon cart or does it put it on your Alexa shopping list?
I believe it puts it in your cart, your Amazon cart, but I don't know for sure. We don't have it yet, so.
Okay. See, I would want it to put it on my Alexa shopping list.
So we haven't used that. What's that experience like?
We use it quite frequently, and it's good. You know, you just tell her to add something to your shopping list, and she does, and then it's there, and you can pull up the physical list on your phone, and as you're going through the physical store, you can just check items off as you pick them up and add them to your cart or what have you. But then.
Oh God! Do you see what they're doing?
Yeah, I know. That's exactly where I'm going with this. So it's handy for that. But at the same time, there's no way you can't take your Alexa list and say, okay, buy the stuff on this list from Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
Yet.
Yet. Exactly.
Yet. And I'm sure it's going to go there. And I'm sure it's going to be add stuff to your grocery list. And then it's like, okay, you can go pick this up at Whole Foods.
Yep.
Or we'll send it to you.
Or we'll ship it to you. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's a little interesting now that I think about it that you can't look at your Alexa shopping list and go tap a button to purchase on Amazon.
Yeah, that's surprising. Like, I haven't used it. I'm surprised by that. But yeah, and the other thing it's doing, I mean, maybe they're just saying, look, you know, anybody that's doing that is buying stuff that they think they can't get on Amazon. Because you could just say to Alexa, buy me this.
Right. This could just be one big market analysis
exactly.
project for them.
That's what I was thinking. Like, these are the things that people think they can't get from Amazon or don't
care
to. And
I bet most people use it for groceries.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yep. Geez, while we're talking about Alexa, she looked at me.
Oh, mine hasn't said a thing.
We ordered it a while ago, but it was just delivered. The Echo Show, I think it's called. It's the Amazon with the screen. The Alexa with a screen.
Again, I'm behind the times. I'm not familiar with that either.
Oh, yes. Well, you're not missing much.
I noticed the dots came down in price again.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they're basically giving them away at this point. So this delivery came the other day, cracked it open, and it's basically like a 7-inch Android app, what do you call it? Fire tablet in housing with a pretty beefy speaker.
Yeah, I see it now.
And it's you know, I'm not actually a fan of it, to tell you the truth. We put it in our main, you know, our kitchen and dining room are like one big space.
Mm-hmm.
And we had for a long time the regular Echo on sort of a centrally located position.
Right.
And so I was like, where do you want to put this? And Erica was like, eh, let's put it in, you know, the main spot where we mostly hang out. So we put it there and then moved the other ones around. And I ordered a 6-pack of dots a while ago and I never got around to distributing them. So we literally have an Alexa device in every single room except for the bathrooms.
Nice. Yeah, we have one in the bathroom.
I couldn't figure a good way to plug it in without it being just super, super ugly because the plugs,
right.
The plugs are like on the counter.
Right. Yeah. I just decided I don't care. I don't have the to me, the biggest thing about this, looking at it here, is the thing I like about it is it looks like it would be easily wall mountable.
It is not. That is an illusion. It's extremely chunky and...
Oh, I see now, yes.
Yeah, it's really ugly and it's very harsh looking. But
yeah.
The thing about it that I found is really rubbing me the wrong way is that, of course, the screen's always on and it's super distracting. Like, I can't walk into the room without looking at it, which annoys the crap out of me. It's really, it feels pushy, you know, like it's always asking for my attention. Mm-hmm. And, I really don't like that. I liked it a lot better when I had a, you know, black paper towel roll.
Right. When you had to initiate the discussion.
Yeah.
Not actively try and ignore it.
Right. But I think, yeah, I have to actively try to ignore it, which is really annoying. But I think I think I might get vetoed in terms of moving it somewhere else, though, because it seems like the kids kind of dig it. And, mm-hmm. and you know, obviously you can do some things on it that you can't do with a regular one. Like, you know, if you play music on it, it shows the cover art. And that's kind of nice, but it's not that big a deal. But then you can say, show me the lyrics, and it'll give you the lyrics. Or you can say, you know, play the Wonder Woman trailer, and it'll do it. So
yeah, I see there's one picture here in there. In their advertising on the page for it of a baby in a crib. So I'm assuming you can look at stuff on like Nest cams.
Yeah, there's, well, they've got this new drop-in thing, which is interesting. I don't know how practical it is, but you can make voice calls really easily with them now.
Mm-hmm.
Just say, you know, Alexa, call Erica. And
yeah.
it pings the, I don't know how it figures it out. It's pretty impressive actually, because because the app is involved.
Mm-hmm.
So like if you send somebody a message, it'll go to their app, like Snapchat or something like that, like a text message. But if you call them and you have drop-in set up, it just like comes on like an intercom. So I can say,
oh, wow.
Yeah. So I'm going to experiment with this because it would be cool around the house to be, you know, like Cooper's in the basement and I can just say, you know, I don't know how to do it yet. I haven't tried it, but I think I can say like, you know, drop in on the basement dot and it just like opens up a two-way audio channel.
Interesting. Is that the yellow ring?
The yellow ring is when you have a message, yes.
I thought that was the green ring. I'm confused. What's the difference in the green ring and the yellow ring?
I don't think I've seen the green ring.
Because the green ring was what I first got when you started messaging.
Alexa. What's the green ring mean?
Green light means you have a new message.
Okay.
To check, you can say, play my messages.
Alexa, what's the yellow ring mean?
The yellow light means you have a new message. To check, you can say, play my messages.
Huh.
Huh.
It's the exact same thing.
What's the difference?
I don't know. Huh. Well, it's, I mean.
Anyway.
Yeah, anyway, it's like, it's, you can see, like, you can, like, if you imagine the internet as a weed, like a giant network of kudzu. I remember thinking like when cable brought, you know, just cable TV in the 80s, we could physically see how far down the street, because we lived on a peninsula, you know, so there's only one way in to our house. And you could see it creeping down the road because they'd put in these new like transfer station type things on the telephone poles. And you could see cable creeping towards our house. And then the internet was being delivered over those same lines. And then wireless started happening. And so now it creeped into our pockets. And now it's creeping into every room and it just keeps on growing. And you can just feel like, I can see, I'm like paying money to creep it into my house, to infest my house with internet enabled voice nodes, you know? And man, I got to tell you, we got a bunch of those. Hue has a really inexpensive, just plain old white light.
Yeah.
Light bulb.
$15.
Yeah, exactly.
Or $10, like that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like 15. If you get a 4-pack or a 6-pack, I think you get a discount. And we're getting to the point where my bedroom, the living room, the dining room, the basement, and Maggie's room all have either the color Hue bulbs or the white Hue bulbs, which honestly, the colored bulbs are a gimmick to me now. I hardly ever.
Yeah, the novelty wore off really quick. I've been thinking about getting some white bulbs for my office and giving Kira my colored ones.
Yeah. There's, in the bedroom, I like the nightlight because it turns like a sunset color. And in the basement, same thing because we watch TV down there. But other than that, I just want white. It dimmed to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like macked out. I got the whole place set up so you can say turn on. If I don't use the keyword, it'll be fine. But it's like turn off all the lights, turn on all the lights. And the entire house just goes dark or comes on.
Yeah.
And then I've got different zones for each room. And it's just so, it's so great. I can't, going back to like, I feel like a caveman if I have to go touch a switch.
Right. Yeah, we have a couple of light switches that are actually kind of hard to get to because we have oddly placed furniture.
Yeah, same here. So, in the living room, it's really hard to turn. Like we've got 6 lamps in the living room and no overheads.
Right. Like we just rearranged our living room. Our living room / dining room is all open. We have a very open floor plan.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't use the dining room for dining room. It was previously Richard was using it for his desk and working there and stuff. But we said, you know, isn't working for you, and we don't spend a ton of time on her anyway, so we just completely rearranged the living room. So now he has the main living room area set up for his workspace because he gives him a lot more room to do the VR.
Mm-hmm.
And the smaller dining room area, we actually have our television and the sofa over there, and there's not a lot of room around it, but mm-hmm. we just have it. So it's hard to get to light switches. And of course, we've got gaming cabinets blocking things too. So.
Yeah. Yeah, our room is, our living room is set up kind of strange also, and it's sort of a long oblong shape with a couch cutting it in half in the middle. So it's like it takes about 30 minutes to turn on and off all the lights manually. It feels like, you know, you could get I go sort of wedge
it's
myself
closer to 2, but it feels like 30.
Yeah, it's torture. It's like, I gotta turn the lights on and go, which ones? I'm not even gonna do all of them. I'm just gonna do the ones I'm near, and I gotta squeeze behind the recliner, and then I have to go around the couch and reach under the lamp and fiddle around looking for the knob, and I turn it the wrong way and it starts to unscrew, so I turn it the other way, and this one takes 2 clicks to come on, so I do that, and then I go to the other one and it only takes 1 click, but I do it 2, so it goes on and off, and it's torture. How could I be expected?
This is the most first worldly of problems.
Oh, big time. But you know, you just say, Alexa, turn the living room lights on. Boom. Done.
Okay.
The feeling is just like, it's like heaven on earth. Control of my environment. I feel like Harry Potter, Lumos, I'm like casting spells in my house.
Yeah. Yeah. Or what's Harry's spell to light the candles? Flickumbicus?
Yeah. Yeah. Harry Dresden. Yeah. Flickumbicus. So, yeah. I mean, how long until the brain implants are here?
Yeah. And soon it's going to be, you know, we're going to be telling her to just get me my groceries.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
You'll just be able to say, I want tacos for dinner.
I was just going to say that.
Everything you need for tacos will just show up.
I was just going to say that because Maggie's 3 and she is like the boss of bosses.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't ask for anything. She just expresses her needs, right? I need milk. She just says that to the air.
Right.
And is the her expectation is just that someone is going to...
Milk will appear.
And every time she does it, and we're trying to add a little politeness.
To ask things,
yeah, teach her to ask. And, you know, I was like, I can't hear that. I can't hear bossy language, you know, stuff like that.
Right.
But that's what it's coming down to. Like this sort of toddler-esque, I want tacos. And I just sitting on my couch, I want tacos and a good action movie. Boom.
Right.
And I don't have to move. Tacos are delivered to my mouth within reaching, you know, reaching area. We're going to have potty couches so we never have to get up.
No, we'll end up like Wally.
Yeah, I mean, Wally is the end game of all of these conversations, of course.
It is. It is, really, especially since you're looking at all this, the big distribution and mega company that is Amazon. And yeah, this is totally heading toward Wally.
Yeah, I mean, if you're gonna be cynical about it, it's like, okay, they Amazon gets it, right? Like, they're slowly sort of out. They're outperforming thing after thing after thing. Like, industry they go into, they've got this kind of relentless focus on minimizing costs and razor thin margins and hyper optimization. And what happens once they've, you know, it turns into this weird monopoly, because it's not like a monopoly, not
in the legal sense. These other places still exist.
But they own the plumbing for all purchases.
Right.
Then what? You know, like...
Like, they're slowly becoming the infrastructure for everything else.
Yeah, right. And like, the only thing that I can see... Of course, it's impossible to imagine what's going to happen, but the only thing that I can... The only thing currently on the horizon that I could see as a possible alternative is something decentralized, like blockchain or Bitcoin or Ethereum or something. Like, how are they going to... How would we get outside of the Amazon system once it got to that point? You know, like, the level of convenience is so high. And if every grocery store is using AGS, like, and they're controlling the bacon prices, essentially, how does anybody compete at other levels? Or what are your options if ultimately everything's coming from Amazon Pig Farm?
Right.
Amazon Dairy. I don't know. But they probably won't. I don't think they would go into the actual pig farm area.
No, I don't think so.
Because they don't do that in other places. So if their pattern is the same, like
Amazon doesn't make the hardware their servers run.
Well, that's not the thing we're buying, though. So, well, in AWS they are, but the things that transact on top of AWS, the businesses that are built on top of AWS, are creating their own goods. So, like, like, you know, Sticky or Netflix. I mean, their product is sort of flowing through the Amazon's plumbing, but Amazon, AWS is a utility in that regard.
Yeah.
They're like electricity. So it would be weird, but they are kind of getting into content creation. So I could kind of see them, you know, and they do have private label stuff. So you could sort of see them doing that in some really high margin areas, like batteries and stuff like that. But... Or like cables, connector cables. But
yeah,
in general,
I don't see them doing it in the food industry.
Yeah, in general, I feel like they'll be the layer in between the suppliers and the vendors.
Right. Amazon middleware.
Exactly, Amazon middleware. Right. We'll see. I guess I am looking forward to being able to just walk out with food.
Yeah, with the Amazon Go.
Mm-hmm. Just seems like that must happen. I'd also be kind of jazzed if there were robots. That would be fun. But yeah, I wouldn't want to be an Amazon. I wouldn't want to be a Whole Foods cashier right now.
Yeah.
It seems like that. I mean, they'll still, presumably for a long time, there'll still be a need to, like, artfully stack apples.
Probably so, yeah. Especially, particularly given Whole Foods clientele.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, the Amazon Go experience, I think, is, like, that was the first thing I thought of when they said they were buying Whole Foods, was, oh, this is going to be how they roll out Amazon Go.
Mm-hmm. I don't think we talked about this before the show, but I don't think we talked about it on the show.
I think we might have mentioned it briefly when they first put out their little demo video. But the idea is basically you go in, you pick up something off a shelf, you walk out, and it charges you accordingly.
Mm. Yeah. So that seems impossible, but there are some details to it. So, like, you walk in, you open up this app and scan your way in, almost like you're getting on a subway.
Right.
And it. As you go to you pick something up off a shelf, and the act of picking it up puts it in your shopping cart. If you put it back down, it takes it out of your shopping cart. You pick it up at your virtual shopping cart. And when you walk out, whatever's in your shopping cart, when you walk out, you get charged for. And the Apple stores have something like this. It's not that sophisticated. Like, you can go into an Apple store and pick up a thing of headphones, scan them with the Apple store, not the App Store, but the Apple Store app, and just pay with Touch ID and walk out. And you essentially shoplift, but it's not available on purchases of all sizes. It's only, you know, for
small stuff,
yeah, small stuff, things that are less expensive and stuff that you don't need helps setting up, basically cases and headphones and just that quick stuff.
Right. The accessories. Yeah.
So I could imagine Whole Foods doing like, you know, in Whole Foods, having it supported for maybe some things, but not all things, you know, maybe just for packaged goods and maybe not like stuff that needs to be weighed. But still, that would be so awesome. Just walk in, grab a few things, walk out. You know, it's like Whole Foods is one of the few places that I... Whole Foods and Target. Let's see what else. Those are about the only places I ever find myself standing in a line, even for, you know, it's usually quick, but still.
Yeah.
That would be definitely a less frictionful or more frictionless experience. But yeah, but the end game's got to be just like massive delivery.
That infrastructure for, like you said, groceries as a service.
Yeah. Yeah. I dig it. Should we call it a day?
Yeah, let's do it.
That's our show for this week. I'm Jonathan Stark.
And I'm Kelly Shaver.
And we hope you join us again next week for Terrifying Robot Dog. Bye.
Bye.
Would you like to see Kelly and I in your inbox once a week? Get new episodes delivered straight to you with show notes, links to additional content, and oh, so much more. Plus, you can reply to any message to suggest topics for future episodes. To get the inside track, go to terrifyingrobotdog.com and look for the Keep Me in the Loop button. That website again is terrifyingrobotdog.com.
Made it through an entire episode without mentioning artificial intelligence.